So thank you very much for coming to see us. Really appreciate it. Just to make sure you're all in the right room, there's some big letters up there. Social computing overview. So this session is all about social computing, giving an overview of what's there in SharePoint 2010. Now you might notice that underneath that we have the word experimental. Okay, so one thing I want to be really clear about up front is that we're trying some things here that might not work. You notice we've got two projectors up here. We also brought in an entire desktop computer and a hub. All the things you shouldn't do when you're doing a demo to people, which is sort of make the demo very complex and have lots of dependencies on hardware and people and IP addresses and also the demo gods that are up there and always working against you. So please go easy on us if things don't work. We've done it for good reasons. We have a very good motive behind it, and that is that if we're doing social computing, it would be good if there was three of us up here demonstrating how we are social, as well as the computing social, and it's nice to see two screens, to see what's happening on both sides of the interaction that is the social computing interaction that's happening. And it's beta software, okay? So if anything doesn't work, it's because it's beta. I really love demonstrating stuff on beta software because you always have that escape clause. Okay, so my name is Daniel McPherson. Very brief introduction. I work for a small consultancy called Seven Seas. My background is that I spent 10 years working at Microsoft. I was basically there when SharePoint was born. I think Mike Fitzmaurice gave a really good overview yesterday in the keynote, which I'm sorry I missed, about the whole, you know, how SharePoint has come to where it is today. But I was there at that first presentation where Microsoft announced Project Tahoe, and I've sort of been with it ever since. So it's been really amazing to see sort of 2007 absolutely rocket in terms of popularity. And then I'm looking forward to 2010 and seeing what that's going to do to the market, which is really becoming quite mature. So to kick off, I just wanted to hand out a few slides here. You might have noticed that I'm speaking English. And what can happen sometimes is I start off at a very sort of smooth and careful pace, and as I get excited and sort of enthusiastic, I start to talk faster and faster and faster. And by the end of it, the English people will be complaining because they can't understand what I'm saying. So I have some techniques here, which is some slides that you can hold up, okay? So if you think that I'm talking too fast, then please do hold up the sign which says slow down, all right? So on the feedback slips, I do not want to see Daniel talk too fast. And if you do think that, these are the people you need to go and talk to, okay? In addition to that, I also have some things like, you're being boring, okay? I live in Holland, and I'm used to the Dutch directness, so I can take it, okay? So again, if you walk out of here and you think this is a terrible session, there's three people here you should talk to. They didn't use the boring card often enough. And if you're sleeping, there's also a sleeping sign. So there we go. Snoring is not enough. You need to hold up the card. There's also like a demo time. I know the demos are very important, so hold that up if you think it's demo time. And I don't expect this to be used, but just in case, very cool. All right, so I'll hand that one out as well. Great. So there we go. All right, we've got a few others, but I'll give that to my friends down the front here to use the rest of them for encouragement. All right, so to kick off, I've got a couple of questions. How many people in the room regularly use what they consider to be a social website? A show of hands. All right, so that's pretty much everyone in the room. Okay, so the next question. How many people regularly use a social website that is provided by your company? Okay, so that's probably about 20% of the room, 15%. How many people are here because you're not really sure what I mean by a social website? All right, there's going to be a couple out there. No. That was a hand. I saw a hand. All right, so there's an incredible disparity here between the people that use social websites. There must be a good reason why you use social websites out there on the internet, and what's going on inside your organizations. What explains that huge gap between what you do on the internet and what you do on your intranet? You know, there's something wrong here. There's a balance that's not right. So really, what this session is about is talking about how we can bring the obvious benefits which you're seeing by using those social websites out on the internet inside your organizations onto the intranet, where you can then start to derive some of those same benefits. And that's really where SharePoint 2010 is hoping to take SharePoint and where the direction we're heading in. So what is social computing? And I think the first question we all ask is it oxymoronic? And I think the answer to this is sort of yes and no. Certainly, when I talk to most of my friends, and you know, I talk about social and computing together, they sort of do not compute, you know, because to them, computing is not a particularly social thing to go and do. So I think that's kind of the wrong way to look at it. You know, we can't expect computers to be more social. But what we are doing is we're expecting computers to work more like us. So the bottom line is that social computing, to me, as a definition, very simply, just means making computers work more like we do. You know, they start to acknowledge the sorts of connections we make with other people. They start to allow us to provide feedback to people around ratings and comments. They allow us to participate.
There's not only social computing, but the, yep. My English is reasonable.
Right. Oxymoronic. It means like where the second word contradicts the first, like army intelligence, for example. Yeah, it's like a contradiction, that sort of thing. Yes, exactly. And I didn't mean to say that, but I did. Sometimes when you're on stage, you say things you don't mean to say. So please put that in the feedback, and, well, I'm in trouble for that one. All right. So the next thing is, social computing is basically a whole lot of marketing fluff. Okay, it doesn't really mean anything. As a term, it's rapidly being devalued because everyone is jumping on board, everyone is using that term to describe what it is they do. Okay, so that's really important. Web 2.0, Enterprise 2.0, all of these things are sort of subsets or groups that you can collectively call social computing. But what I want to go from there, though, is that social computing is pretty much where I think the KM train dropped us off. So this is where the knowledge management train dropped us off. You know, for the last 10 years or so, we've been talking about knowledge management. You know, what does this mean? How do I do it? How do I do better knowledge management? Well, I think the answer is that knowledge management is sort of passé now, and really, it's all about social computing. And that's the way we're going to start to do more and more knowledge management. And I'll give some great examples of that moving forward, I hope, today in the session. So before I move on, can people name a few social websites that they use? Yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, Hives.
Right. That's three. Leave some for the other people. Exactly. All those are examples. Yeah.
Internet is social.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It gets like that. Oh, sorry, Martin. I thought you had your hand up. Anyone else want to contribute a social computer? Hives is a good example here in Holland, obviously. Yep.
Yammer.
Yep, that's another great example of social computing. How many people in the room here use Twitter, by the way? Okay. Well, that's quite a few. So don't go talking about me behind my back, all right? When I come out of this session, I look up the Twitter stuff. Previous sessions, I've actually put a Twitter stream up on the board here so that, you know, if you're going to talk, if you've got something to share it with all of us, you know, that sort of attitude. All right, so here's some good examples of social computing up there on the web. The first one is YouTube, okay, classic. Now, this is where the marketing starts to fall away and the real value starts to come in here, okay? There's real value behind these websites. Started in February 2005, it now streams 42 million video streams every hour. That's incredible. There's obviously a few people that think this site is quite useful. Next one, Facebook. We all know Facebook. Okay, as of the last couple of weeks, started in February 2004, now has 350 million active users. Okay, now when I say active users, that means every day 50% of their active users log on. That's incredible. I mean, that's an extraordinary number of people finding that service useful. Wikipedia. I think we're all familiar with Wikipedia. Started in 2001, and now it's got 3,163,184 articles, to be precise, sitting there on Wikipedia. The cool thing about Wikipedia is if you ever do a Google search with just sort of two words, how many times is Wikipedia like the number one or number two result? It's crazy. It's like Google just sort of outsourced its results to Wikipedia. Delicious. You might not have heard of it, but it's a social bookmarking site. It's where you can go and share your favourites with other people. That has over 150 million tagged links in it. Again, extraordinary number, and it only started in September 2003. WordPress, a great platform on the internet for blogging. Over 202 million websites are based on WordPress. That's enormous. Flickr, a photo sharing site, has over 4 billion images stored up there. I didn't know there were that many cameras in the world. And finally, there's Twitter, which is the new kid on the block. Started in March 2006, 22,800,000 active users. And the most important thing about Twitter, actually, I think, is not necessarily the social computing, but it's what you're going to hear about more and more probably next year, is the real-time web, which basically means that it's a way to really keep your finger on the pulse as what's happening right now. Yeah, and the best example that I had of this was that I was trying to get to MSDN one time, download some software, and I couldn't access it. So I went onto Twitter, anyone else got MSDN down? And then I realized, well, actually, I could just do a search on the Twitter stream and find out without having to even ask a question. And Twitter could tell me instantly if MSDN was down, right at that particular moment. And of course, we see better examples like what's going on with Haiti at the moment, and other real-time reporting that can go on. Iran was another good example where Twitter really came to the fore as far as a news delivery mechanism. So, you know, I guess my point there is that if people find all of these services useful on the internet, then why can't they be useful on the internet as well? If people have decided the best way for them to share their knowledge and information is via these sites on the internet, then why aren't we taking advantage of those sorts of services on the internet as well? And the reason why I think it can work is because my mother doesn't like computers very much. I live in Amsterdam, she lives in Australia. I like to share photos, and until Facebook, it was impossible for me to share photos. She got into Facebook, and now I can start to share photos with her. So it was very, very simple, a very easy way for her to get on there and start to consume that knowledge, to be aware of that knowledge. So now I get phone calls to make sure I'm looking after myself, and I can show her and prove that I am by giving her a photo showing me quite plump. Okay, so social computing for business. The way I'm sort of thinking about this is it's kind of a cross-pollination between different spheres. So the first one is this private-public network cross-pollination. And what I mean by that is I really see that most of the innovation, knowledge management innovation now, is not being done inside the firewall. It's being done outside the firewall. And companies really need to start to learn or begin learning from the consumers that are out there and how consumers manage knowledge and share knowledge about how we can better leverage those same technologies inside the intranet to share knowledge and work better together. So really, you know, it's this cross-pollination. You know, what they're doing, we should do. What we do, they've been doing. And the second part of it is work-life cross-pollination, and that is bringing a social dimension to what we do in the office. Because, believe it or not, work and the offices we work in, the people we work with, we have social interactions with them all the time. And you know, one of the things that I've always talked about in the 10 years I've been doing knowledge management is how do you capture what goes on around the water cooler? You know, because I certainly know that I have these informal networks in my office of people that I trust and who have knowledge that I would like to have. And often I meet them around the water cooler while I'm getting a drink and I just have a bit of a chat to them. And I learn a lot that way. You know, so how do we get those sort of social interactions and actually make them more formalised and capture the sort of information that gets exchanged there? In some ways, there's a bit of a difference between top-down and bottom-up. You know, in the old days, you had these communication departments and they would publish information out to the organisation and that is what you read. Whereas now I think it changes so that everyone starts to participate and everyone participates in the publishing. They publish effectively what they think is important and anyone else can go and read that. Everyone helps improve and they improve whether they're rating or they're putting comments or they're participating in a wiki. Everyone's empowered to actually improve the knowledge, the corpus of knowledge that a company has. Everyone can do something. Subscription's a big part of it. Being able to subscribe to information, just have the information come to you based on the people that you've identified as being valuable people who have knowledge that's relevant to you, you can subscribe to them and the knowledge comes to you rather than you having to go and search for it. And finally, you choose who you learn from. You know, that's the most important thing. Rather than just being put in an organisational unit saying, right, that's the people that you have a relationship with, something in common with, you get to choose that yourself. You decide, you know, that person's important to me, that person's important to me, I want to learn from them. So I've just got a very quick case study that I wanted to take you through. This was the Business Week cover in May 2005. I think that was the same year that blogs was word of the year, according to dictionary.com or something. So this is not new. And even then they thought it was going to change your business. So I've got one question to ask you, and that is it as easy for people on your intranet today to publish something to your intranet as it is for them to send an email? How many people can hold their hand up to say it's as easy to publish on your intranet as it is to send an email? It's incredible, huh? It's incredible. We've been doing this intranet thing for, I don't know how many years, 10, 12 years, and it's still easier to send an email. It's crazy. And yet, one of the biggest complaints I've always heard from CIOs or people I talk to is there's all this knowledge locked up in email. Well, it's no wonder. There's no alternative. There's no easier alternative for people to go and use. So the way I like to think about it is we should consider keystrokes as oil, as non-renewable resources. You know, let's say that in 2020, got some bad news, guys, we're running out of keystrokes. Okay? You've got to maximize the value you get from every single keystroke you make. And if we had that sort of attitude, I guarantee no one would use email. You know, whenever you get that next question, that it's a good question, and then you reply via email, instead of doing that, you'd put it in a blog. And that's exactly what one of the companies I've been working with for about the last 18 months has done, in that they've produced a really nice blogging platform built on top of SharePoint, and it makes publishing to that blogging platform as easy as writing the email. And slowly but surely, we're encouraging people to, instead of replying to that very good question via email, they reply to that via a blog post instead. And then we start to build this nice corpus of knowledge where people start to demonstrate that they're experts in a particular area, which is obviously really good for them too. It's very motivating for them to build up their reputation amongst their peers. Executives got on board. A lot of the blog posts aren't work-related, and that demonstrates the fact that there's a social sphere in the office. You know, these people want to be able to contribute things to their work colleagues, which is not specifically related to work. And that's not a bad thing, necessarily. There's all sorts of unexpected uses that we hit upon, and that sort of reveals a lot of the need that is out there, the pent-up need that's out there. And finally, it's actually saving money. And this is the biggest thing, is that it's often quite hard to come up with all these sort of airy-fairy reasons about why you need social computing. By having a blogging platform, we've been able to retire newsletters. It's as simple as that. The company had literally thousands of newsletters, and each one of them was printed on paper and was sent around via the old post to different people's houses. We've been able to start retiring those. And so there's some real hard money being saved by putting a blog platform in place, apart from the other ideas we have around it creating value. I suddenly got very loud then, didn't I? Okay, we'll keep... Now I've got feedback. Okay. Here's a bit about the promise, but what I want to do, actually, I think I'm taking a bit longer than I thought. So what I want to do now is go into the demo with Mark and Robin. And if we've got time, I'll come back to that, because I think the demo is really quite important. Mark and Robin, I have to kick it off, don't I? That's right. Okay, good. It's me first. So what we're going to take you through is sort of a day in the life of someone who is using SharePoint from a social perspective to do their day-to-day business. Apparently... Am I meant to be doing the setting, the scene setting? We work for a company, a games computer company, and we're producing a new game called War of Gears. Okay, some of you might have heard of it. That was not my idea. War of Gears it is, and we're going to call it the other thing all the time. I'm looking for a new storyboard to kick off. So basically what I've done is I've come into my site, and over here underneath content, I've got my blog. And what I want to do is create a new post. So I'm clicking on the create post, looking for to help with a storyboard. Okay, out there with some good ideas around storyboarding. I've never typed that much without making an error before in my life. Okay, especially in front of people. Okay, contact me. All right, you get the idea. So what I'm going to do then, come down the bottom, and I'm going to publish. So the next thing I need to do is give that a tag. There's a couple of small issues with the beta. Normally you would have tagged it as part of this process, but actually that doesn't work yet. So I'm going to manually go back and tag that. So if I go into my post, you can see I've got the option up here to tag and note. Tagging is prevalent throughout all of SharePoint 2010, so everything effectively can be tagged. So I come in here and give it a tag, Wars of Gear. And I click on, there's some suggestions. So this is working in with the metadata store that we have in SharePoint 2010 to keep your tags in some sort of order so that everyone's not coming up with their own tags. So there it is there. We're going to select that one. And I'm going to click on save. And away we go. Okay. Good. So now I'm going to hand it over to Mark and Robin to take the demo from there.
My name is Mark van Lindenburg. I also work for the company Seven Seas. And I've been working with SharePoint since early 2007, actually, and currently working on a very interesting project on SharePoint 2010, which is a POC, so that's good stuff. Now I'm standing in front of you, if my beamer works as well, by the way. Is it switched off? Yeah. So I'm standing here in front of you as Mark, the storyboard writer, right? And I'm also working for the company called Contoso. And obviously, I'm very into storyboard writing. Actually, I'm very senior, so I'm a senior storyboard writer. I love doing that stuff. So what I do is I work for Contoso, which is a big company you might have heard of. And that company does a lot of stuff. And for instance, right now we went into gaming. So right now I'm in the gaming, how do you call that? The gaming team, actually. And it's Tuesday morning, and I'm logging on to my environment. And there it is, my environment. And automatically it starts up with my site. The technicians did that, and every time when I boot my PC, my site basically starts. So there you have it. This is my site where I do all my, well, personal stuff on. How many have seen this already? Yeah, quite a few. All right, cool. I'm going to browse through it anyway, just to give a sort of idea on how that works. And yeah, you might see some stuff that you haven't seen before yet. So let's start off. I'm here on my profile page, and basically what you see here is information about yourself. Can you hear me correctly, by the way? Fire is. Yeah, right. So here you can see all my details, right? So to start off from the top. I got my profile page, I got my content page where I store all my local content on, and my public content, and I got my network tab, which I discuss in a few moments. Now below that you see this is coming actually from 2007 as well, so you can see as an owner of your my site you will see you have different views basically. So you got a view for only me, you got a view for my manager, and so on and so on. So you can tweak your my site. So depending on what you want to show to your other colleagues or to your company basically, you can switch your mobile number on or off or anything like that. So to go a little bit more down, you will see here a very nice feature, which is the time. It's very nice. I like that a lot actually. But it's kind of static. So if you leave your my site open for quite some time, that won't update and you will get stuck in time, basically. So very nice. I like it a lot, but maybe need some tweaking. It's better, though. So what you got next is, you got basically a sort of what you like to tell others. So it says there, what's happening. Well, I can easily say, well, good morning, all. I am drinking coffee. Cheers. Right. Now, that shouldn't have happened, actually. Right. I will do. Try it again.
Right.
Yeah, it's the time indeed. Yeah. Good morning, all. Coffee, it is. All right. So that will do. Thanks for debugging that. So this is basically published to my site, and this is going to reflect here in when you go down, you get your recent activities, and it should say here on. It goes a little bit outside of my screen here, but it's it doesn't update it yet. Well, give it some time, I guess. Well, that should reflect on your My Profile page. So if we go down a little bit more, you'll see my details, and you see a short description about me, and you can click on more info, and you see some more details on what my skills are, where I'm interested in. Apparently, I'm also very interested in Wars of Gear. And what you can do is you can edit that stuff. All right. So if I go into that, this looks pretty familiar, hopefully, for you, because this is all coming from 2007 as well. So you can basically configure your profile here. One thing that has changed, and Daniel showed it also a little bit already, is that you right now have suggestions. So whenever you type something, you should see suggestions, which is the metadata store. That's pretty convenient, and here you get some suggestions as well. It's kind of, how do you call that? It's kind of smart to see what should be interested for you. So I can just click that, and that will go into ask me about. So if we scroll down a little bit more, you will get a section with the activities that you would like to follow. Now, this is going to reflect on the My Network tab, which I'm going to discuss a little bit later. But right now, you get, if you check that all, you get all the updates and all the things that you're interested in, right? So you get, for instance, I'm interested in blogs. I can check that or uncheck that, depending on what I want. So it's really a sort of fine-tuning on what you want to see in My Network, which I'm going to show you afterwards. So if I'm going to save that and go down a little bit more, you will see that my ask about me has been extended with the Storyboard Gaming team, which I just entered in my Ask Me About section. So these are the items that you can ask me questions about. So if I click on that, for instance, that will pre-fill the noteboard, and I can say, well, I got a question, right? Or not, depending on what I want to do. So somebody can leave a note, anybody can leave a note on my profile, and start asking questions or whatever kind of stuff that they would like to tell me. You can see here that Robin also had, Robin and I had a little bit of a conversation here. So, yeah, you can basically do that. It's similar to Facebook-ish and Hives and all those social kind of stuff. So, so that's pretty cool. If you go to the right a little bit, you see the My Links. And the My Links is also coming for 2007, not that special. And, well, it's basically your favorites or anything like that, if you would like to see that. If you go down a little bit more, you see my organizational chart. So you can see that I'm a senior storyboard writer here. These are my colleagues. And Daniel is my product manager in this case. And here you see your recent activities. So for instance, if you update your status in the top, that will get reflected here. And all the other stuff that you're doing, if you're doing tagging, making notes, anything like that, that will get reflected over there. Go a little bit more down, you see your tag cloud. So if you make tags, if you tag a document, for instance, or tag a page or anything like that, that will get reflected in the tag cloud. And in common with you, it's not filled right now because I'm basically viewing my own page here. So if I would view Robin's page, I will see the people that are common with me, actually. So, well, that doesn't make sense right now because I'm on my own page here. So if we go to the top a little bit, you see that you have these tabs here. So if we go to organization, for instance, you see a very nice Silverlight overview of who my colleagues are and who my manager basically is. So you see, you start off with yourself, and then you can scroll to the left and to the right, depending on what you want to do, obviously, but you will get a nice overview of who your colleagues are, which is quite nice. So that's pretty cool. I can go to Daniel and I can see Daniel's colleagues and I can see Daniel's employees or anything like that. So it gives you a nice overview of how that is all connected. If you don't have Silverlight, in some cases you don't have Silverlight within a company, depending on, I don't know, whatever kind of reason. You also have a sort of HTML overview, which is a little bit static or dull if you ask me, but it does the trick actually. So again, you will see who you are, who your colleagues are, who your manager is, and how that is all getting, how that is organized within your organization. So that's pretty cool. Does the trick. It's not that fancy, but. If you go to content, that is basically the same idea as you get in your My Content section. So you will see a sort of aggregation of all the things that you have done. So these are my public documents, actually. These are my public documents and my public blog posts, and on the left-hand side you will see your lists. Now, if I would log on with somebody else here, you will not see the personal documents, for instance, because, well, they're personal, right? So, so you get, it's quite a nice overview, actually. And if you go to tags and notes, you will see all the activities that you've done. So if you, on the right-hand side, you see stuff that you have tagged, stuff that you have posted and make notes of and all of that. And with the left-hand side, you can refine that. So if you press, now it says all, and if you press text, then you get the activities, then you get all the tagged activities, actually. You will get all the notes that you've done. You get the private tags here, or the private note. What is it? Yeah, it's a private note. So nobody else sees that except for me. And you get public notes on the right-hand side. If you go, for instance, to this is a tagged page. So if I go to home here, that will bring me to a team site. And if I go a little bit to the right, and you go to tags and notes, you get an overview over here, and you see that I, for instance, where is it? Yeah, so I've tagged this, and I said, well, this is my private tag, or this is my private note. Very useful, but at least you get the idea that you can, tag pages. So let's go back to my overview. You can refine it even more by using your tag cloud. So if I click on personality, I get all the tags and all that I marked as personality, apparently. Very useful as well. right. If I go to colleagues, this is a section that I can configure myself. So I can basically add whoever I like. So from my own team or somewhere else in my company, I can add my colleagues here and I can group them and I can sort them and other people can see them as well. So you get a nice overview of who your colleagues are and who you know within your company.
Is the input for the Silverlight in
Shopify? No, this is not the input. That is based on your profile actually. So you can in your profile you can say, well, Daniel is my manager, and if Robin does that as well, that means that we are colleagues from each other. So that is how the Silverlight component works. This is basically really static. So what I can do here, I can say, well, add a colleague. I can choose whoever I like. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, Robin is already in it, so that doesn't make really sense. But I can add my colleague here. I can say it's a team member or it's not a team member. It can be in a different team, right? And basically I can say here, I can assign it to my own group.
So one of them is the sort of traditional organizational structure, which the company is organized around. And the other one is your network. It's the people that goes across that you think are important that you collect together. So this is more like Facebook friends type thing, but it's around colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Thanks. And
information out of all data sources. Is
organization
chart like SAP or?
No, I guess not, because you're configuring that in your user profile.
And not this one, but the other one.
Yeah, so the Silverlight one, you mean?
Yeah, this one. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is basically you configure that all. So once you have your user profiles in SharePoint. From any kind of source, well, basically your AD, I reckon. So if you have your user profiles within SharePoint, you will configure that up in your own user profile. You say who your manager is, and that will be assigned to your account, basically.
But that can come from another source.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to come from the AD.
It can
come from other sources.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, for the last tab, which is memberships, very useful, doesn't work at the moment. But basically what you can do here is you get an overview of what you're a member of within the AD. So if you're a member of a distribution list or group within the AD, you will see that here. Well, unfortunately that doesn't work at the moment, so bear with me on that one. If we go to my content, you will see an overview of the content that I produced, personal documents and public documents, and blog posts that I've done. So that's all being done over here. And for the last step, which is my network, I get an overview of what everybody is doing. I've showed some interest, for instance, in Wars of Gear. Well, because I've showed that interest, I see that here, that get reflected in my network. So, well, what a coincidence. Daniel blogged a blog post today how do you call that? And, well, I can see, well, hey, Daniel posted a note here. I can see that I'm pretty interested in that, so I'm going to have a look. And I see that Daniel is looking for a new storyboard writer. Well, that's a coincidence. I'm sitting on the bench, and I really want to get started on this one. I'm really fanatic player in Wars of Gear of Wars, or whatever kind of game it is, right? So I say, well, this stuff I want to do. I go to Daniel's homepage, where is it? Daniel's page. And I'm going to leave a note over there saying, "Hi, mate, I would like to work on this." Without spelling errors, right? So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to pick that up. Obviously, I already know all the backgrounds and all the details around that, so we don't have to have a conversation about that. But right now, when I'm going to my content, I think, well, I'm going to write a story about it. So why not plug my cable in? Right. Where's that?
Doesn't seem like a good idea, does it?
No. Well, there you go. All right, thanks. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, thanks for reminding me that. I am first going to update my profile saying I'm going to work on Wars of Gear. A lot of work. I need somebody to help me. Help. All right, to make it really clear. Okay, so I posted that. So I need a team member here. But I can start without that. I'm already going to start. So I'm going to open OneNote, and I'm going to create my story in there. So if I go to File, New, Network, and I'm going to create this document in my personal My site, as you can see, personal my site, and then my shared documents. So that basically means that others can see this as well, right? And I give that a name, which is story about Wars of Gear, right? And I'm going to create that notebook. And I say on this one, it is shared with anyone. No thanks, that's fine. And I'm basically starting off with writing on this. So story. Wars of Gear, and I'm going to my script here, just do some copy and pasting. Storyboard writing is very interesting. It's a lot of copy and pasting. It's a hell of a job. Somebody's got to do it. All right, copy and paste that. This is my script. This is my this is how I start. And well, all right. So I got my story here, and now Robin.
Okay, so I'm logging on to my profile. Let's do right with one hand. Nope.
Clip it on. Yeah, clip it on.
Like this? You can hear me?
Yeah.
Good. All right, so I go to my network. And then I see status update from Mark. That he's going to work on a new storyboard for Wars of Gear. I'm very psyched about that because that's also my favorite game. So I'm going to go into Mark's profile, and I'm going into his content and into his shared documents. And then I see, whoa, wait a minute. He's onto OneNote. So I think maybe I can collaborate with him on the document. So here's the document, and I know a little bit of background information
Unfortunately, I don't have the script here, so I'm just gonna type some really fancy background information. Like that, and this, and I'm gonna fill in the who's who. Marx is going to do another great job. And the finale is, of course, that the goodies win. And now, of course, like I'm used to Word and Excel, and I want to save this document, so I'm gonna click on File. But wait a minute, where's the save button? Apparently, in the web apps and in OneNote itself, you don't have to save anymore. So every change that you do is automatically being transferred to the server. And if we open up Mark's screen, hopefully, then my changes would appear in your.
Yep.
But it doesn't show, does it?
No. Give some time, mate. 8 seconds.
Eight seconds, right?
Right. You got another good joke or not?
No.
No? Me neither. All right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Very cool. Awesome.
Thank you. Awesome. So here's the document, and if you see, you can also see on the right side here that Mark did this section, and I added this section, and then he added the who is who, and I added the Mark is going to do another great job. It was very cool to see the whole differentiation between all the people who tried to collaborate on this document. And also, you can view all the versions. So this is the latest version, and if I go click on this one, this is Mark's version, so this doesn't show my input. So it created another version when I started to write this document.
And just to be clear, everything you're doing there is just in the browser?
Yeah, there's no OneNote on this machine, I guess.
No.
No.
It's the browser anyway, so...
So let's look about this whole tag stuff, because I also, of course, can tag this one. So let's just click it and say tag it. And we tag with, of course, Wars of Gear. Yep. And this is another cool feature. If you click on the tag, you have a tag profile. So what does this mean? Basically, this is a profile page which shows you everything that's being tagged with that particular tag. So you can see who's been tagging this. Unfortunately, now it shows tagged by one, and if you click on it, you see the person who tagged it. So I think maybe that's a beta thingy. So you can see who tagged every page or OneNote or document or whatever. But also very interesting, you can see who else is using or following this tag. So if I click on view people who follow this tag, we should have cased it before, but it does a search and it will reveal every person which has Gears of War in their interest or in about me or they tagged it. So this is using FOSS, by the way. So here you see all the user profiles, and a cool thing about this as well is I can see myself as well. And you can also see, if you want to be found, how people find you. So they found me three times, two times this month, one time this last week. And they used the keywords Robin or Wars of Gear. So if you want to be found on some stuff, you can add those keywords into your profile, and then you can be found on that. So it's good for your if you want to be found on SharePoint, but you don't want to be found on Visual Basic, then just put a SharePoint in your user profile, and then you can be found on SharePoint. What you can also do is, for example, for Mark, I want to see his recent content. So this is an aggregation of all the latest stuff he's been doing. And also, of course, I can browse him and see where he's in the occipital chart, like this. But Mark also showed that. But you can also sort by default, but you can also sort by social distance. So whoever is closest to you in terms of the organizational chart will be shown first, and then later on. Mark is now at the top because he's in my department, and some other people also have the interest are not in my organizational unit. So I think we're pretty good with the OneNote, with our let's go back. Yeah.
This aggregation from the fast from the switch query.
Yeah.
Does it come also with the fast product, or is it?
I got absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Sorry. So we're going to make a wiki out of this because we both agree on this is very a very good storyboard, but we also want to have input of other users who have the interest within Wars of Gear. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back to our gaming hub, and I'm going to create a new wiki. So it's going to be the Wars of Gear. Oh. Free demo script. Oh, hope it won't exist. Wars of Gear free demo script. Let's go down. We don't do one publishing enterprise wiki. And everything is good. So click create. Yes, there's no custom development going on.
Also, there is a
box. Yes, it's all out of the box. Yeah, we want to show some custom stuff, but we wouldn't let ourselves do it. So let's replace this with the storyboard. Yes, I want all access.
So that was pretty quick. What did you do then?
Sorry, I just copy and pasted my OneNote into the wiki. And I click on save. And there we have it. And the cool thing is about the enterprise wiki is that you can rate the page. So if we're going to rate, and I'm going to log in as different users. What's the user? I think match page. Sorry, I think then jump, maybe, hopefully. Yeah. So I'm now Dan Jump, and I found this also very cool, and I love it. So I'm also going to rate this page. And you see, there's a thank you, your rating has been submitted, and we will process soon. So that means that being very technical right now, there's a timer job who runs in the background and checks all the ratings and aggregate those ratings and makes a cumulative rating out of that. But you also saw with Mark showing with your user profile, so what activities you can follow, you could also follow ratings. So hopefully, because we set the timer jobs to each minute, we're going to see it in my network, hopefully, if I log on as myself.
Yeah, so a quick one around the wiki. The thing is, why we're doing that is that currently we're working in OneNote. And what we would like to do is basically, well, hand over the content and the things that we worked on to our fellow team members, meaning that we really can collaborate with our fellow team members. So not only with the two of us, but also, yeah, within our whole team, basically. Our whole team can make modifications to the wiki, can rate that, can, yeah. I don't know what, all sorts of stuff. So what we're trying to achieve here is really a, yeah, collaborative, very nice word, social kind of project. So that's the whole idea around the wiki. Why are we doing that?
Exactly. And I think it doesn't. No, I think the time is up. Maybe it does not really. And I also wanted to show you very. Let's go back. Yeah. That is very annoying.
This work is very experimental.
Yeah, because fortunately this is not my laptop, and also I had a cool image and a cool video. Because what I really like about this enterprise wikis is you can finally, if you want to insert stuff, you want to insert a picture, you finally got from computer. So if you do that, can I just browse nothing? Okay.
some private stuff.
Yeah, awesome. So it's saved, and now I can save. And there, of course, is my awesome, great picture. Yeah. So let's resize that. Hopefully that will work. Now doesn't work.
Keep resizing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does work, but.
Okay, just trust me, it will eventually be such a picture, and it will work. But because I really loved it, and I mean, users are now very, because it was very hard to do with uploading images, uploading videos, uploading documents, and there were too many steps you had to take before a normal user could use this as a good wiki. And now they haven't done an excellent job with embedding videos. I mean, you can just upload a WMV file and it will just play. It's really awesome. This is it basically for the demo time.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to show the version diff in this?
Maybe I could say this first.
Yeah.
And then do a version diff. So there are two versions. And it's now showing the difference between version 1 and version 2. So I think the picture will be... No.
Maybe yeah, it's
check it in, check it out first, or version... No. Well, believe me, it will show. It's awesome. Yep.
All right. Well, look, thanks, guys. I think a couple of things there that stood out is going back to my comment before about how easy it is to get information published on the internet. I think you saw with the wiki, it's just a breeze. You know, you're sort of one step away, one click away from editing that web page in place to get the content updated, to get it to say what you want it to say. And you can work on it collaboratively from there. So the other thing is, I think, about the whole way you can collect colleagues and the way you can identify those informal relationships formally using the colleagues functionality. That really comes back to the fact that knowledge, networks really are a form of knowledge. Who you know is a form of knowledge. And if we can make that information slightly more formalized, we can capture it, we can start to dig into that and find out more about the way our organization works. An interesting slide deck here, and this is kind of the stick. So I guess what I've been talking about so far is the carrot. So it's going through, there are all these amazing things you can do with the new version of SharePoint 2010 and the social features that are in there. And there's lots of good reasons for doing it just on that basis. But there's also a stick. And that is that if you don't do it, then bad things are going to happen. And basically, the bad things that are going to happen is that the people inside your organization are going to do it anyway. So I heard Yama mentioned. Yama is a great example of people wanting that microblogging functionality, going out there and getting that microblogging functionality. They get that without the permission of the IT, and they get that from an external provider. Now, depending on your organizations, you might have a legal organization that's not particularly happy with communication, informal communication between employees happening outside of the firewall, outside of your control. And in fact, in the case of Yammer, after your employees have gone and worked on Yammer and been collected together on Yammer, Yammer will actually come back to you and say, oh, you'd like to administer those users as well, so we'll charge you for that. And there's a service you can then take which helps you administer and manage those users and the conversations they have outside of your firewall. So, in the way, you need to try and keep pace with this. You need to keep up with this. And you need to provide them with a viable alternative so they can keep those sort of communications inside the organization where you can get more value out of them. This quick slide here just sort of highlights that you know, 63% of office workers will access social networking sites at least once a day. Of those, they'll spend 1 hour per week on social networking sites when at work. So that's what they're doing today. And then 46% have discussed work-related issues on social networking sites out there in the wild. So this is happening right now. This is today. And this is only going to get more and more that people do these sorts of things. By the way, one thing I often hear is that, you know, this whole social networking thing is a complete waste of time. What you'll find is that, yep, they're definitely doing some social networking stuff, which is personal, in the office. But equally, the flip side of that is they're doing work-related stuff on those same social networks outside of the office and in their own personal time. So actually, in some ways, it starts to balance out in that people are doing work stuff in their social time and they're doing social stuff in their work time, but it kind of balances out. So it's not all bad news from that perspective. The other thing about, well, not really a stick, but the other thing to keep in mind is if you're an organisation, a large organisation, perhaps like the one that I'm working with, which is 150,000 people or so, recruiting is a really big deal. You know, every year they're bringing on thousands of new people. Those new recruits are difficult to entice to come work for them. And when they do come on board, you really want to make sure that they've got access to all the tools they're familiar with. People coming on board now, they're familiar with these tools. They're going to expect these tools to be in place. In fact, the company that I'm working with, they really want to take advantage of these tools to do what's called reverse mentoring. So basically, they bring on the new hires who are from the Facebook generation, and then they work with those new hires to work with the older hires to actually get a handle on what these tools can do. And the older hires help them with the organisation and obviously with the profession that they're in. And the new hires help them with the knowledge-sharing tools like Facebook that are available. So it's kind of this give and take between the people who've been around for longer and the new people coming on board. But that's an important thing, is that these tools are just second nature to people coming on board. They know how to use them. They know how they work. I think going into all this as well, if I go back sort of 2 years ago and I was asked about sort of social computing and building out a blogging platform and even beyond that, perhaps building out a video portal as well, I was quite sceptical. You know, I sort of thought, well, you know, this sounds very good, but it also sounds like marketing to me. Where are the real benefits? Where's the tangible stuff to it? And then I sort of started to think back to other technologies, which I kind of was fairly sceptical about to start with as well. And this is one of the things that I find about IT, is the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, so the new technology comes along, I greet it with scepticism, and then often it actually emerges as being a really useful business tool. And I think the most classic for me was instant messaging. I think the first time I heard about instant messaging was on a tool called ICQ. I don't know how many people were on ICQ way back in the day, a little flower, a little uh-oh noise that came on. I still hear that every now and then, you know, it sort of takes me back in time. But ICQ was really huge, and I thought, well, that's great for me at home, but now I can't imagine the enterprise really that being all that useful to the enterprise. You know, here we are sort of 9 years later. I'm working in this organisation which is radically geographically dispersed. There's people everywhere. I'm on that thing constantly. You know, I use instant messaging all the time. And it's absolutely essential for me to get my job done. And I think it's the same with these technologies, with things like Wiki, like you saw, with the social networking, all of these things. People will be sceptical, but I'm convinced that these are the next generation knowledge management. These are the things that will help us drive and get more value out of what's in people's heads today. So a couple of little hints and tips about going social. Yep. Sure.
Can you say a little bit about how working through my sites relates to, I would say, more traditional team types? I mean, do they still both provide to exist next to each other?
Yeah. It's always a tricky one, that, isn't it? I haven't seen too many really mature deployments of my sites yet. I think they're still to get to the point where they're really realising their potential, if you like. Certainly the company I work at, actually, they have gone quite a long way towards that, so that when you open the browser in the morning, it does go to your My Site. That is the homepage. So you don't go to the company portal, you go to your My Site. And I think that's been an interesting experiment. I don't know that it's absolutely worked, but I think it's been an interesting experiment and people get a personalised view from that. I think this version has got a lot more potential because there's a lot more value that will bring you to it. For example, the ability to track colleagues, the activity stream, which I'm pretty excited about. So I think that will just naturally encourage people to go there more often. And I think one of the other things too is people start to get in the habit of saying, well, I've got a document, I don't know where to put it. I don't want to sort of physically locate it in some team site that I've created, so where do I put that document? And And then you put it in your My Site, and when you're talking to people, you say, oh, I worked on a document the other day. It's in my My Site. And then people just know where to go to find it. So I think some of these things will start to emerge just to naturally make the My Site more and more valuable. But I think it's hard to sort of, with a big stick or whatever, say to everyone, right, this is what your My Site's for, this is what you will use it for, and this is what Team Sites are for, and this is what you will use it for. People are just going to have to find their way a little bit, I think. I don't know if that answers your question. I don't have a good answer is probably why it's a bit roundabout. Absolutely. Definitely. One does not replace the other, that's for sure. Yeah, one definitely does not replace the other. And, you know, perhaps it's the case where, you know, you're working on a smaller project and you work on that in your My Site, and then at some point it becomes a more important project. So at that point you roll it out over into your Team Site for broader collaboration. And then after you've worked on it in that Team Site for broader collaboration, it becomes finished. Then you roll it out into a portal, you know, a more centralized portal where you have your completed knowledge, you know, the more valuable knowledge, and then people access it there. So I think it's a whole life cycle of documents and how they travel around and where they end up. But there's no easy answer to that, I don't think. So, okay, so yeah, on the steps, I think engage with users is an obvious one. You know, get their feedback on what sort of things that they need. I think you'll find that a blogging platform, for example, is a great place to start. And I think that you'll get a few stars. You know, you get a few people that are really itching to use something like a blogging platform. It won't work for everyone. Some people just don't want to use a blogging platform. But the great thing that what we found in the experiment we did at this company is that it's really great for people's careers. You know, once people start to see their peers using the blogging platform to promote their expertise, to enrich their reputation amongst their peers, then everyone starts to use it. And all of a sudden, instead of this empire building, you start to get this competition about sharing. You know, so everyone wants to outshare somebody else. And that's really a flip side from the empire building which we see today, whereas my value is based on how much knowledge I have and how little other people around me have. You know, so that's a really nice behaviour that I like to see blogging encourage. Get executive engagement. The best way to drive a blogging platform is to get an exec to start using it. You know, if an exec can use it to help them communicate more effectively with the field, then that's a great way of demonstrating to the rest of people in the organisation that this is a good way of sharing knowledge and communicating. And there's lots of quick wins. If you know, with SharePoint 2010, there's lots of quick wins you can get out of the box, you know, to enable it. Activity streams being one, tagging, all those sorts of things. So on the don't side, you know, you'll find there's lots and lots of don'ts. Whenever you sort of propose this, even if you call it social computing or social networking, you'll get lots of people rolling their eyes and sort of shutting off and all of that. At the company I'm working at, we don't call it sort of social computing or social networking, we call it professional networking, you know, and then you're fine. You can just cruise on through that one. So there's some terminology that you can sort of tweak a little bit based on your audience that means the same thing, but it just puts a slightly different slant on it. One thing we always get pushed back on is, well, I don't want people to be able to publish on the internet because they could use a swear word. You know, it's outrageous. And then we'll have HR coming down on us for someone using a swear word, and it just doesn't happen. It's a theoretical thing that people imagine happens. It just doesn't happen. Or if it does, it's incredibly rare. And so it's a real shame to block off all of this functionality, all this capability, just because there are a couple of people that may abuse it. And so I think, you know, in the 2 years that we've had the platform live, there's been no single report of abuse of the blogging platform in that whole time. Because, you know, we don't enable anonymous, by the way, which probably helps. I mean, everything that anyone does is linked back to their NT account. And if you have policies around that, then that is the person who blogged it. You know, that is it. So there's a real responsibility on people to use the platform. Don't pay lots of money for advanced features. Yep, sorry. Right. Yeah. So do you know the organisation I'm in is so sensitive that they did not want ratings. Okay, so this is the sort of organisation I'm in. So the concept of ratings was very controversial because it's not your job to determine how good somebody else's content is, right? So that's the sort of organisation that we're in. That they're that sensitive. It hasn't been a problem yet that anyone's been critical of somebody else and it's been taken the wrong way and that's become an issue. Certainly, there's been cases where people have been critical of the organisation. And, you know, I think there's two ways to look at that. You can sort of say, well, you know, why are we giving people a platform to be critical of the organisation? Or you can say, well, at least we've got a positive positive outlet for them to be able to voice that criticism, and hey, at least I know about it. Rather than going and doing that on Facebook or somewhere else where it's a lot more, this can be a lot more destructive because everyone can read that sort of stuff. And I think this is, Bill Gates used to always say a lot, not to sort of mean he's some amazing business leader, but you know, he used to say this, which really rung true for me, was bad news should travel fast, you know. And I think things like a blogging platform can really help that. You know, in that if you've made a decision which is unpopular, and you have to wait for that unpopular decision to bubble up through reviews or organisational structure, it can be too late before you've got a chance to correct that. Whereas if you give people an opportunity to voice that immediately on a blogging platform, and you can see by the number of views, the rating, the number of comments, all this sort of all these metadata around that, you can work out how big a problem is and what you should do about it. So there's this real, you know, there's a couple of different angles. There's this, it's a great way for people to collaborate, but then it's a great way for executives and for the people steering the company to get a bit of a view about what's going on in that company and get some ideas about what actions they should take. So there's a couple of slices on that one, I guess. So on the advanced features, don't really go for the big advanced features because 80% of what you need is just what you get out of the box. You know, even if you're a power user in social computing, nobody in your organisation is really going to be a power user in social computing, or at least not very many. And the great example of that is RSS. You know, for a lot of techie people, RSS is sort of second nature, and we love it, and we can't believe that it's not more popular, but it's just the fact that it's called RSS, and it just doesn't gel with people, that value that it provides yet. So simple stuff is good, and that's where SharePoint's actually good, is that it does provide fairly simple capabilities. The blogging engine in SharePoint is nothing on WordPress. WordPress is streets ahead, but it's all you need inside of an organisation, is my experience. Don't force anyone, because it can be scary. So like I said before, not everyone's a blogger, not everyone's a yammer. Different people will have different preferences about the way they do it. So it's not about forcing people, it's about providing it. If you build it, they will come, okay, is what I will say. And don't think it'll be a smooth ride. So on all of that, that sort of brings me to the end of the session that we have planned here today. We've got feedback forms. So please go ahead and fill those in. Finally, there's contact details. Any questions around, feel free to email. But I really appreciate you spending the time with us today, and I hope the experimental demos and things were useful to you and you got some value out of it. So thank you very much.